First of all, it's great to be here in Jamc. This is one of the first presentations I've done in English, so bear with me. I don't have such a fine, polished accent in English, but let's see how it goes. For those who want to learn only one thing today, it's this. So disc golf makes you happy. So I'm here to talk about disc golf, also called the frisbee golf in Finland. Hold on. And my goal today is also to give you an inspiration. My background is also like yours. I was actually in Tampere ammattikorkeakoulu learning for business and entrepreneurship. And while I was studying, I started my business early in 2000. And since then, I've been growing my business internationality all over the world. Hold on. Do you hear me? All right. So I have quite a lot of slides, so bear with me. I put my most important things on the pink slides, like your Jamc color, so those might be a good ones to take notes. Disc golf is a pretty big thing in Finland. It's not that big thing anywhere else at the moment, but as you see from here, this is one of the most recognizable athletes in Finland at the moment, Lauri Markkanen. We have one Bulls fan here too. And he really likes disc golf, and this is from last week's news that he was already planning after a long NBA season to go in Finland and play some disc golf. So today I'm more sharing my story, and through my story I want to give you an inspiration how you can also achieve your dreams and your passion. So what I'm going to show you is that how I did develop my passion in particular sport, disc golf, into a global business, and all the things that went through during that process. It's still going, but here we go. So I want to give this slide to you just because I think one of the most hardest things, especially nowadays, is predicting what's happening tomorrow, what's going to happen in the future. This is really annoying.
Do you want this one?
Yeah, this one. All right. So predicting the future is hard. So I put down some notes for what is behind a success, and three keys to the success. First of all, I think whatever you want to do in your life as your professional career, it should be involved a passion. Like John was mentioning the supermarkets quite many times. I think there is a lot of people in that kind of industry that are working for just to funding their free time. They might like what they do. They might like working on the supermarket, no problem. But there are too many people in this world who are working just because they have to work. The best day is Friday. The worst day is Monday. If you can change that, the best day is obviously Monday, and the worst day is Friday because you need to go out from the work, then you're working for your passion. And actually, I developed myself a rule that when you love to go to the work, you're not working at all. So I'm not working at all in my life because I love what I do. So I'm kind of always working, but I'm not working, if you get the point. Let's make one test. Let's see what is your passion. So draw a circle. And name it passion. And then think about one, two, three things that you're passionate with. I'm passionate with sports, travel, chocolate. Write a couple things what you're passionate. And what those are typically things that you're doing regardless of anything. Time of the day, time of the year. Somebody likes to read. Passion is something that is typically built inside you, so you don't think about it. So you might like skydiving today, but it's not probably your passion. Might be. So it's something that is kind of a existent and longer, not only some kind of a trend. Then we're going to draw another circle, which is talent. Now your task is to write something what you're good at. Are you good at sports? I consider myself good at marketing, management, used to be good at sports. So what are you good at? What are your special talents? And now when we are here in the business and entrepreneurship sport seminar, this is something that you can actually find your future. So this is how I did find my future, even I didn't know that it happened. So then in the business world, there is an opportunity. And you can now see that there is a certain area here that collides all these three things: passion, talent, and opportunity. That's where the sweet spot is, the business. This is something that you might be really good, and you can actually build your future. So like I showed, predicting the future is hard. And when I got into this sport, disc golf, it was so small in the back 1994 that there was no way that I could make it as a sport or business. But I was so passionate for that particular sport that I really wanted to do something around it. And that's why I started to build that sport. This is a story how I was luckily involved with building disc golf in Finland. So passion is really important. You need to find your passion. The second thing in the success is obviously you need to make the work, hard work. There is no sports athlete, professional one in the world who hasn't worked hard, trained or whatever. It's impossible. When I started this disc golf business, I think it was until 7 years I worked as a side job, side hustle, before I was able to get any money as a salary. So 7 years is quite a long time. But it's now starting to pay back. So working hard, whatever is your passion, talent, and if you include the hard work, you can make results. You know, everybody who likes to get the summer body or whatever, if you go to the gym tomorrow and even you work there 7 hours, it doesn't really show. It just hurts. But if you do that 7 months in a row, you're going to see the results, right? So same here in business. If you start your business tomorrow, you're not going to win tomorrow everything. But along the way, if you put those hours, the passion, the talent, and you have the opportunity, the result will come. Also, to be successful, I mean, there has been studies of success, a lot of them. I don't probably have read any of them, but I have heard that a good timing, you need to be in the right time, in the right spot. So I feel that I was in the right time, in the right place when I was starting to do my business. So those three key points I listed for you. This is from one of the really, I would say, legendary disc or frisbee player from the US that he coined this phrase long time ago. When a ball dreams, it can be a football or basketball, it dreams of, it's a frisbee. I don't know how true this is, but I buy it because there is a lot of things that you can do with frisbee that you can't do with the ball. Maybe we'll see something. So, a question. How many of you haven't heard about disc golf or frisbee golf before now? Raise your hand. Couple. Okay. How many of you have played or tried disc golf? Perfect. Why?
With friends.
Why? Why would you like to try that?
Because lots of friends had a lot of good times with disc golf. So I probably ended up trying that. Of course, I have thrown a frisbee. Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, we'll get back to that why. So here's a kind of an explanation of disc golf. Let's see a movie.
Golfers, PGA members, and disc golf courses per capita? A northern country with over 100,000 lakes, plenty of forested land, and a relatively low population. It boasts long, warm summer days where you can play almost around the clock. This country is Finland, the perfect place for disc golf. But how did this land of Santa Claus and long winters become a paradise for the sport? Cell phones and rubber boots, so disc golf is a perfect sport for Finns. Since 2005, when Finland hosted its first European championships, the sport of disc golf has grown significantly. Back then, Finland had 122 disc golf courses. Today, there are a total of 625 courses across the country, and the player base has grown from 5,000 to 100,000 in just 12 years. The Finnish Disc Golf Association has 2,700 PDGA members, up 80% from 2015. Disc golf in Finland is everybody's sport. Most Finnish disc golf courses are tightly wooded, and Nuinmaki Disc Golf Park in the city of Haivinka is one of the newest and longest wooded courses in the country. Nuinmaki Disc Golf Park played host to this year's Finnish National Championships. 2017 is the 100th anniversary of Finnish independence and also the 100th anniversary of the city of Haivinka. Naturally, it was the perfect place to hold the national championships.
Yeah, it's great to have talented video makers. But anyway, that was a pretty good review of what is disc golf and what is disc golf in Finland. My story in disc golf starts with 94, and that was exactly the same story that you had. So I had a couple of friends that wanted me to try this weird thing. And we went to the local course, and immediately I was hooked in the sport, and I think I was spending up to 7 hours a day playing disc golf. And this is kind of a really important thing for this particular seminar. So 94, Finland had 4 or 5 disc golf courses, which is obviously nearly not enough even to have a sport. Disc golf was just an idea, came from the US. And I immediately bought in full time. Actually, that picture is from 98. So from the picture, you can see that the fashion is always coming back every 20 years, right? So I was a professional player in my mind because there were no sport of disc golf. And I was thinking, I have 3 kids, and I have my first son in 97. So it was kind of a impossible formula to have a family and play professionally something that is not there. Only option to me was to travel to US and beat the best player in the world who has won 9 consecutive world championships to be a professional disc golfer. So there was no chance. So that was around the time when I started to think that, okay, it's not about me. You need to do something for the sport to be able to be a professional disc golfer. So I created my company in 2001 and started to sell disc golf equipment in Tampere area. And little by little, I was able to start growing my business, my company, into the state that it could support my father. My father was my first employee in 2007 or 8. And in 2009, I started to work full-time for this company. Before that, I was in the advertising business. I used to own an advertising agency. This picture is really important for me because this is my grandfather's typewriter. I don't know if you even know what is a typewriter, but this is a special one. So my grandfather was an entrepreneur. And they used to live in the same house when I was really young, like 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And they had a small of the smallest business in Finland. They were making Finnish baseball gloves and balls by hand. Handmade Finnish baseballs. Sounds crazy. Almost like a disc golf disc. And I learned in a very young age the meaning of hard work. So when I was in the second grade on the elementary school, I was 8 years. I was in Finland, you're at least at that time, you were able to walk or bike back home after the school. And after school means that 12 to 2 p.m. So it was still a couple hours before your parents got home. So I went to my grandparents' little shop that was in the same area, the separate building, and I was, of course, I need to take my homework first, but after I was finished my homework, I started to work for the company. So my first job I was working was when I was 8. Hopefully nobody will make a case of it because you can't employ 8-year-old kids, but I wanted to work. So my work was packing the balls and gloves for the plastic wraps and put them aside. And after my shift was over, which is typically 1 or 2 hours, my grandmother took the notebook with the pencil on the drawer and calculated, okay, today you packed 70 balls. That's 70 cents. And we put it on the... So I think that my entrepreneurial spirit and hard work comes from that time. I started my working career over 30 years ago. So this is important. So when my grandfather passed away, I got his typewriting machines, and that is on my home office desk, reminding me about the hard work and entrepreneurship. As said, family is really important. I have 3 kids, 2 wives, and 1 house, and which means that I've been working too hard at some point of my career. I have 2 kids. My son actually turned 5 last Sunday, and I really enjoy giving more time for the family. Even if you work hard, you can still, and you should, give more time for your family. And actually, next week, I'm taking my daughter. She's 17 now. I'm taking her to the Los Angeles for a couple of weeks when I'm having meetings and stuff like that. So it's really important for me that I can support back them and give them some family time and also really nice trips. All right, next slide. Once you find your passion, talent, and opportunity, work hard. And maybe before that, when you dive into the business or something, you need to know why. What's your mission? And I'm now talking about whether it's your professional or personal life. I don't care. But I truly believe that if you have a strong mission, why you're doing certain things, everything is possible. I mean, how probable it is that there was one kid in Tampere finding this weird sport, and 20 years after that, he is running a multi-million global business. It's just because of it's here. So you need to have a strong vision, and you need to have a strong mission. You need to write it down. So I think that is the time when the mission comes in reality, when you write it down. Other than that, it's just a thought, it's an idea. And you know how especially millennials have hard time to keep an ideas. And keep it clear. So there is so many things going on nowadays. So many messages, ideas, everything is going on. So you need to keep it clear. And also think big. I'm now at the moment I'm mentoring and coaching an entrepreneurs in Tampere. Pro Academia, I don't know if you know that, but it's similar to Jyväskylä Tiimi Academia. So I always have one team that I'm coaching and mentoring. And last time when we were having this a 2-hour session, I was asking there, okay, what's your vision? What's your dream? And they had a really good dreams. Almost every single person had something that, okay, I want to achieve in the next couple of years. But what I noticed is that even now, they tend to have a small dreams. There is nothing wrong with the small dreams. But when you have been working in the United States and you're coming back to Finland, there always you have a big dreams, right? So I kind of challenge you that whatever you dream, dream big. This is a good example. For example, my son, who is now 5, he wants to be an astronaut, or he wants to go to the space because he has seen, you know, space rockets and rockets and stuff like that. He doesn't even know anything that is how hard it is, but he wants to go that high. I think that's a perfect example of when you're young enough that you don't have borders and limitations, that you have learned and studied that, okay, getting to space is actually really expensive and really hard, then you're starting to put those borders to your life. But if you would think about that 5-year-old mentality, that anything is possible. I mean, anything. So I think that is a really important that you need to learn from the kids, that you need to think big. Here's my mission, two-parted. So I'm going to make disc golf as a global sport, which means that disc golf, this sport has to be accessible in every time zone. in the world. Also, it's going to be recognized as a sport, not just a hobby or thing or idea. And also, I want to employ 100 people. Passionate people. When I'm interviewing people to work for us, I'm always loving. I'm always promising blood, sweat, and tears. But according to the survey that we run every year, twice a year, people like and love to work with us because they can actually, it's almost like a sports team. You have a bigger mission. You want to win the league. You want to work and put work for the win. Our guys and girls are working to make this mission possible. This is also important for every person working for us. And our company has a vision to be the world leading disc golf company. It doesn't mean that we are the biggest or we make most discs or most money or whatever that. It's more like a mentality. You can be the world leading expert, but you're not probably the biggest paid expert, for example. So, for example, how I utilize this vision, which everybody knows, if you wake up any of our employee 3 a.m. in the morning, they should answer this. So everybody knows it inside and out. But the thing is that especially when I'm talking to my managers and they are bringing me a question, okay, what should we do with this system? And maybe he or she is giving me a couple of options that, okay, I have studied that if we do this business decision, it means this, and this decision leads to us to a different conclusion. My typical answer to him or her is that, what would the leading CFO do in this particular case? So I want to give this power from me to them. Of course, I'm going to help them to make the decision, but I want them to make the decisions. When you give that power to your employees, that's a big thing. Things will happen. So here's the map of our offices. We do have a headquarters in Tampere. It's been there all the time. And regarding of the time of the year, we have 20 to 25 people working for there. We do have a Stockholm sales office and Prague office. Those are mainly for handling the national or aerial sales. And then our newest business and company is in USA, which is now growing significantly fast. We also have a partnership in Australia, Perth. But this means also that we are a small company, but we are operating globally. So when I was driving here this morning, I got a message from a professional player in the USA saying that, okay, by the way, I'm going to be free agent next year. So we don't have agents in our business that much, but it's kind of interesting that your world is in your hand. If you have a mobile phone, you can operate the whole world. That's our mentality. So a little bit of the brands we are working with. Innova, which is our company name, comes from the US. So Innova Champion Discs is actually the inventor of these discs. I personally have a privilege to know the owners and the inventors of this company. 1983, they invented a bevel-edged disc, which is significantly different than the Frisbee. So the Frisbee, you have probably all thrown, is kind of a lightweight, easy to throw and catch disc, and typically goes straight. These things that we use in disc golf are different. They are aerodynamic. They're smaller and heavier. Obviously, they fly further, more precise, and they are not affected to the wind that much. So this guy, Dave Dunipace, in the early 80s, he was kind of an inventor and a sportsman. He started to think about that, okay, airplanes, they fly and they have this certain form of the wing, which is not completely round. So he was starting to make some tests in his garage. Okay, what kind of a form of a frisbee could fly better than the existing ones? And so he basically solved the problem, which was at the time that the frisbees were not flying far enough. And to be able to make the frisbee fly far, you had to put more weight on it. And it went all the way that the heaviest frisbees were almost 250 grams. But then they are starting to lose the flight characteristics. So it was kind of a dilemma. So he solved it, patented it, and made the whole industry. At the moment, disc golf industry is $100 million in the U.S. only. So obviously, I was, it seems like 12 years ago, I was in California first time, and before that I already laid a pretty comprehensive business plan for Innova, who was the inventor and the main business in the sport, that, okay, I have a kind of an idea of a different brand that would be made at Innova but would be called different as a Discmania. So 2006, I established my own disc golf brand, which was made in California and still is made there. So Discmania was born 2006. That was a time when I was throwing 200 meters. Discmania Inc., like I told, we have a subsidiary there now. So it's 4 years old. And this is an important step for our globalization of the company, that we are actually operating fully in this market area. And this is part of one of the projects that I did a couple of years, was the Disc Golf World Tour. This was one of the ideas to make disc golf bigger outside Finland. Obviously, we had Finnish events, but it was our effort to push disc golf even beyond the normal or the level at the moment. We discontinued or stopped the tour after 2 years just because we didn't reach our goals. And I felt that after spending 3 years and maybe €1 million for the tour, I realized that the time is not right yet on most of the areas. So we're back on the drawing board and we're doing different things in the future. All right. I wanted to kind of showcase you a couple cases. How did things happen? Because I think that now looking back, the success of Finnish disc golf and the growth of disc golf, and from my business and marketing expertise perspective, I can draw some lines together. So maybe these will help you to understand how we can create a new sport and build it up. Because I've been honored to be actually involved to make disc golf like you see it at the moment. So case Finland, obviously Finland is a good area to make studies or tests like Nokia did. Nokia had a cell phone, a huge cell phone business back in the 90s and 2000, and Finland was their testing laboratory because we only have 5 million people. They all speak in the same weird language that you don't understand. And it's easy to test things for Finns, and if some things are working, then you can try to adapt to another market area. So also like on the video that was interpreted was that we are kind of a crazy to throw things, and I think disc golf in general has a really good place in our hearts because it's an outdoor activity. So Finns tends to go outdoors when it's possible, which is three months a year. And also we kind of like also individual sports. You don't need to talk to anybody. That's good. That's Finn. Timing and luck again. So in Finland, I think this was a good laboratory and time was right for for making this case. And also, you need to remember that when I started in the 90s, there were no, well, internet was just an email was coming in. So there, and social media came 10 years after that. YouTube was way behind when we started. So kind of a getting the word out was more manual or analog than it's now nowadays. And of course, passion and hard work. So nothing that you're going to see wouldn't be possible without the work and passion. So I set to my standards myself that, okay, I'm not going to rest until this is a sport in Finland. And to me, what designates a sport? What, John, what designates a sport? What is a sport?
But it is the whole idea of aiming and hitting a target does kind of fit in with the general sport. The fact that it's a point system, there are competitions, there are championships. It does fit in broadly with the sport culture, but there are problems, I think, defining the sport.
Yeah, good point. So for me, a designation of the sport is that there is a common rules that are actually approved by somebody else, that just not me. There are places, AA stadiums or courses or rinks that you can play it, and it has, it's kind of a standardized, those playing areas. But also it's recognized by the main medias in that particular market area. So for me, having a disc golf in a live TV broadcast in Finland, Yle, which is a BBC, was kind of a designation and my point, okay, now we reached the sport. This is the level of sport. I'm done with this mission. Anyway, and this is a like a big Finnish newspaper made a big article about how something became a sport. So if it's said on the big newspaper, I believe it, right? Also, what designates that it's a business? So when I was really young, and my grandfather was, of course, he was an entrepreneur. And funny thing, his biggest customer was, at that time, it was called the SOK, SOK. And nowadays, one of my really biggest customers in Finland is the same company, but obviously a different name. So it's kind of funny that over these 40 years, we have been selling, me and my grandfather, we have been doing with the same company business quite a lot. But anyway, this is a Financial Times in Finland that says that disc golf became a $1 million sport, which means to me that, okay, if these guys recognize us, then we're something. So the question was, how did this happen? Well, okay, there's some numbers too. So at the moment, we are actually facing the fast growth because of the international business and U.S. markets. But I think that 2001, when I started this, it was 7,000 euros, my revenue for the year. So we've come a long way. And now at the moment, I'm actually able to do things that I would, what I kind of a vision in the long ways, but I'm not a player anymore, but I can support players and people, which is even better. There is a Finnish rock star who said this, that be careful what you wish for because you might get it. And I think this is important lesson for me, that I wouldn't be able to achieve these things without the passion, hard work, and the big things, big mission. Just need to work for it. So I consider this concept our most important concept of the business. So this is, you need to build disc golf courses in order to get players. And when you get the players, things are starting to move. So this is something that we put a lot of emphasis on the new market areas. We are currently, I don't know how many countries, but maybe around 20 countries we have been already supplied or shipped these disc golf courses. And if you want to start, this is our newest website, discgolfpark.com. So if you want to check out what does it say and what does it include, there is a lot of good information. We have approximately 500 disc golf parks now all around the world. And this is how it looks like in Finland. So think about when I started, it was 4 or 5. And now we have 627, I looked yesterday. In comparison for other big sports like golf or hockey, we have quite a good network of places to play. Obviously, not all of these courses you see here are world-class and best ever, but they are an entry-level access to the sport. So there's quite a many. The green ones are new, less than 6 months, I guess, and the red ones are private and the blue ones are public. And as you see from here, the growth has been pretty good in the last 10 years when I consider we stepped into the disc golf course business in 2006-07, around that. And I don't know if I told you, but the disc golf is born in U.S., actually California, Pasadena. It's 40 years old, 42 years old at the moment. And over that time, U.S., and it's still leading the disc golf market by far. I would say 90% of all disc golf business is in the U.S. But Finland has grown quite a lot. So this is a comparison between Finland and the states in the U.S., that we have quite a good amount of courses, even we are such a small country compared to these states, some of these. Which leads to the success again. So because we have grown so fast a lot and we have had a good quality courses in Finland, this has basically yielded that at the moment Finland is by far the best disc golf country in Europe. So a couple years ago we had a European Championships in Oulu, and I think we got 9 medals out of 15 or 12. So building the sport is also equals that if you make a good courses, they will develop more players, and the players will, of course, when they gather in the same tournaments, they have a higher level competition, which again leads to the higher level players. And compared to the other nations in Europe, we're now the leading nation. Okay, now it's a marketing part of the presentation. So I collected these slides for trying to showcase how did this happen and what we actually did, because I told you that I'm coming from the marketing business or industry, and I think that there is a lot of weight what you say and how you say it. So influence is really important when you're trying to grow things and affect things. So when I saw that, okay, disc golf is starting to get traction. It was 2010-11, and I knew that, okay, we need to do something that we can really kick this off, because it was still a weird thing. So I created this one message that I told across to our company that, okay, whenever you talk about somebody with disc golf, especially if it's a media or a public sector person or whoever, you need to, first thing you need to tell is this sentence. And why is it important, I show you. The other thing is that you need to drive the momentum. So I've learned as a leader that leaders, they drive momentums. So if you can create the momentum, like let's say if you're in the sports, there are sometimes there are momentums, like Arsenal football team, that team that didn't lose a single match. They had the momentum. So it was kind of a, not obvious, but it was, they had a really good drive that, okay, we're going to make this all the way. So they created the momentum. So leader, as a leader, my actually main thing is to create the momentum and then maintain it. Then the staff and everything takes care of the rest. Small things will not be issue anymore. And then dedication, you need to dedicate to that special momentum and message. So I created this phrase. How many have heard about or read about that disc golf is the fastest growing sport in Finland? Good. So this message has reached at least some of you here, which is obviously a great thing. So from 2012, we started to put this phrase to everywhere. So because we were building the disc golf courses, so when I went to the Jyväskylä and they got the new course and I got the local paper and I was interviewed to the paper, I have done hundreds of interviews. Every time I'm always saying, this is the fastest growing sport in Finland. And then they put it on the paper. Okay, how do you measure it? Well, our point of measure was that we studied that not a single other sport has so many new places to play than disc golf. So for us, that's the fastest growing. So what happened? BBC, they made a radio show. This is another paper. So most of the medias, they obviously, they wrote about it, and it was true. It was the fastest growing by this measurement. What this made was, this made a positive spin. So when you read something about this, that there is a new disc golf course, and by the way, this is the fastest growing sport in Finland, you're more likely to try it, or at least say to the friends that, okay, hey, let's go and try it, because everybody tries this. So you're creating the momentum and you're creating the hype. When you do this, I don't know how many of you are specials in an SEO, search engine optimization. But if you do this, and if these are the most visited pages in Finland, so what does that mean? If you Google now, the fastest growing sport in Finland, you're going to get 4 out of 10 first results are disc golf, because they have titled it there. So this is kind of a good thing. So I created the marketing momentum, which was true, and everybody bought in. That's why we were able to actually accelerate the growth of the sport, because everybody bought in, media, local people, friends, other players. Now we moved to the US, so I've been there now 4 years trying to learn the market, which is obviously a really difficult thing. That work in Finland doesn't work in US, almost by default. I've learned that now. So I have now created a new momentum, which is through our Discmania business, which is called the Year of the Shield, which is it's a kind of a statement that I made earlier this year. First of all, I made a statement through video to every single employee of our company. So they heard it first. What's the deal? What are we going to do? And I also made a commitment. So there was a passion. There was a hard work. I promised hard work from me. And then, of course, dedication. And we published this on Monday, 8th of January. And then weird things started to happen. I mean, obviously, you are not familiar with the disc golf sport or business that much that we are, but we have a team, professional team. We have like 15 athletes. Some of them are touring in US, some of them are touring in the Europe. And before this time, they have had a good success. They haven't won all the events, obviously. Nobody can win everything. But they have been up there. But after this started, since then, our guy won the first national tour in the US. Our two guys won the second tournament. More success, new guys popping up. Our sales are up. Our sales are up in the US 468%. quarter one. So creating a momentum in business or sport is really important, because then people can actually start to believe the momentum and work for it. So this is kind of an important message. Okay. I have a couple of my personal things that I always want to do. So I've learned so much from the school I went. I've had so much from the business I've been doing. So I have become thinking that, okay, I want to give back. So this is also really important. When you go and do and start your businesses, remember to give back. It's all about us, not me. So being a leader is kind of a hard, because when you fail or anybody fails in your organization, it's actually your fault, kind of. You need to take the blame, at least publicly. If your company screws up, you're the guy or girl going to the press and say, hey, we screwed up. You've been following Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg. Also, when your team or a company succeeds, you should not be the guy there, hey, I did it. You need to give the credit to the people who made it. So that's kind of an important thing for the leader. You need to be there on the bad time and give the credit when it's due for the people who did it. So that's important. We, not me. And then over the couple, I think 20 years I've been managing or leading, this is something that I have realized, that actually leadership is, of course, creating momentums and stuff like that, but it's mainly helping others. How I can make your work easier today. And back to the first or second slide. So in my case, this stand. So I didn't have the future. I didn't know what it is, but I decided in 98 that, okay, I'm not going to be a professional disc golfer, but I'm going to make one. And now I'm in the position that I can support almost 30 people, and I have created my future. So my lesson to you is that you're in the perfect position to make sport of your business or business of your sport. I don't know what you want, but think about this, what I've been doing. This is a living proof that it's possible, even the weirdest thing you have never heard. Thank you. Any questions? Making marketing or advertising is the best thing that you can do in your pants on. It's really fun. Everybody can make marketing and ideas. And especially in this case, if I can talk about the Discmania, which is our brand, is that when I was building that brand, there were a couple of key things and points that I wanted to make sure, because every good brand or brand image or logo needs to be timeless. In my opinion, you shouldn't be able to know that, okay, this one is designed in the 90s or this one is designed in the 80s. So having a logo that is timeless was important. Also, you can see the shield, and the year of the shield kind of connotates that I wanted to build a brand where people can be almost like a football fans. There is a team, the shield, because the shield designates, it's from way early, like the knights, and there were houses that they have their own emblem. So I wanted to build my disco brand as an emblem of the house of Discmania. And it's almost like here, it's in your heart. So whoever carries the shield, they are carrying the same family than we are. Those are the two things that we wanted. The Discmania as a name, we did test it as a different market or language areas like Sweden, Finland, and US. And we kind of realized that that is the name that fits to the mouth of Finn, American, Swede, and German, Discmania. And mania, even it kind of connotates a little bit negative feeling, it can be also a positive mania. So those are the pointers that we thought about when we were... So it's always a thought process. So it's not go to the photo shop and do something. It's more like go to the woods, walk 2 hours and think about it.
Thank you. Do you have any more questions from the audience?
I mean, I think that when I started my business in the garage of my father, and I actually invested my PC386 computer for this company, and the rest is blood, sweat, and tears. I don't think that I have never stopped and think about that, how big this could be. I'm more like a guy who is looking for the future that, okay, this will be this big, but I need to get these things done first. So maybe the first turning point was that when we started the first live broadcast for YAL, and I was there, of course, in the middle of action, I kind of stopped for a moment and think, okay, this is it. Now we have reached the level of sport. But I consider myself of the visioner, so I want to go forward. I'm living in the future.
Thank you for your answer. You. Any more questions? Okay. I would like to ask, first of all, thank you for sharing this story of success, even personal story, I would say. But what was the biggest challenge in this successful way?
I think that was the 98 when I was realizing that I have a family, I don't have money to make this, and there is no sport, something needs to be done. So that was kind of it felt like, forget it. I mean, but I kind of knew that, okay, if I work hard, we can make something out of this. But I would never have thought about that I would reach this level when I was there. But you know, things are that you need to just dream big. Try to be a 5-year-old kid and think big.
Thank you.
Thank you.